All right, good morning, guys. Happy Mother's Day. And I know we're still waiting for many to get here, but let's begin this month. As you know, we're talking about the church. That series this May is on the church. And when we talk about the church, we're talking about the living organism of all of us here. We are the living organism of all true believers is the church. So we're not talking about an organization, but we're talking about a living organism. It's like, you know, if you're a believer, you are part of that organism called the church. Just like you're born in America, you're an American. And you're born spiritually, you are part of the organism of the church. And the church is big, and the church is powerful because of the head of the church. The head of the church, Jesus Christ, is why we gather here today. It's why we worship together. So why don't you stand up, and let's turn our hearts towards worship of the Lord together. As a body, worshiping our head, Jesus Christ. Amen.
A few announcements for you, which are in your bulletin. Thank you. I want to thank all of the Awana leaders who served all year long. Our Awana program officially ended last week. And how about a round of applause? It's just a great effort. The whole school year, I appreciate how you build into people's lives. And we're really, the truth, offering, I'm trying to think of a slogan for Awana, but truth that changes lives. We're offering that every week. So thank you for everyone who served in that. There is a Awana Leaders Appreciation Night this Wednesday. Even though Awana's over, the Awana leaders have one more night. That's an Appreciation Night Wednesday at 7 o'clock. And for more information, you can talk to Dave and Mike. That or Dave and Laura. Upcoming, we have West Chicago Blooming Fest. If you are available, that's where they close Main Street and they sell flowers and have some vendors, and we have a booth there. If you're willing, it's only from 9 to 3. It's a great time because they just get to meet a lot of people because people come out and it's a good time. But I'm looking for people to staff the booth. If you can help, let me know for 1 or 2 hours. That'd be great. Let's see, upcoming, anything else happening today, nope, Mother's Day. It is Mother's Day, and I was thinking this morning about what a blessing it is. If you can talk to your mother or tell her that you care about her, you know, my mother will tell, I went to the store and I bought, I found one card, and I go, oh, this is a beautiful card, and I love it, and I know my mother pretty well. And then I found another card, and I go, this is a good card, too. And so I bought both of them, and I sent them in the mail, and I was talking to her on the phone. She doesn't know this yet. And she said, I hope you didn't buy an expensive card for me. And I taught her, I bought her two, and I put a little note, because she's in Connecticut, and I thought, I don't get to see her that often, and I thought, I want her to know that I care about her, and how God provides and shows who he is through the consistent care of a mother. We see the care because we're made in his image. So if you have a chance to tell your mom that today, do that. And so I wrote a little note. Why two cards, Mom? Because I know she would have questions about this. Little note in parentheses, because I like them both. So if you have a chance to do that for your mom today. Anyway, that is it for our announcements today. We're going to have the ushers come forward. And the life we're trying to live in the Christian life is to put God first in every part of our lives. And this is where we honor God with how he's blessed us financially and put him first. So we're going to take the offering, and the ushers will come forward and take that. And after that, the Sunday school kids can go to their respective classrooms. Thank you.
Happy Mother's Day. We started out, as I mentioned at the beginning of this morning, our May series. We've already started it, and the series is on the church. And last week, Dean talked about how the Bible teaches one aspect of the church is that the church is the pillar and the support of the truth. And this morning, I'm going to be talking about the biblical teaching about how the church is the body of Christ. And then following weeks, we're going to hear the metaphor of how the church is like an army and a family. And Greg will finally close this series by teaching us how the church is the bride of Christ, right? I got that right. Okay. And as we preach about what the church teaches concerning the truth, we're talking about two different views of the church universal. How many of you guys are in the universal church? Raise your hand. Okay, you're right. You know it. Because the church universal is all true believers on earth, and the local manifestation is the local church. How many of you are in local church? Raise your hand. Okay. Very good. The local expression is the local church. So Glen Arbor is one of millions of local churches throughout earth that make up the universal church. Okay, so that's the background. Some of you know that I have this ancestry of Lutheran pastors, starting with my great-great-grandfather and going up on the line for generations. And as a family, whenever we go on a vacation or anything, we always try and visit some sort of historic site of one of my ancestors, oftentimes a church. We found phenomenal finds of churches that a relative of mine has preached at or been a pastor of. And but we never got to the closest church, which is right here in Chicago in the Austin neighborhood that my great-great-grandfather was pastor of in the early 20th century. And the reason for that is because for years it was closed down. We didn't know what was going to happen in the building. We didn't know if it was ever sold. You know, we saw photos of the outside of the church, but never the inside of the church. And that all changed this year. Earlier last month, we discovered that there was an active local church in that church building again. And so we called up the pastor and made an appointment to go visit the inside. And it was a lot of fun. It's now called it was a Lutheran church back in the early 20th century. It's now called the Constant Prayer Missionary Baptist Church. The same building, but now it's the Constant Prayer Missionary Baptist Church. Isn't that a great name? This is in Austin, the west side neighborhood of Chicago. And let's see, I think, oh, there's some photos. So we went early spring. It's snowing in April in Chicago. So there we are in front of the building. And this building, oh, isn't that a beautiful sanctuary? My great-great-grandfather, Joel Hunt, pastored in this neighborhood in Austin for 27 years. And he and his church, in the middle of his pastorate, built this building. They were meeting at other places. They built this building in 1928. So what you're looking at was built in 1928. And now, almost 90 years later, there's a church in there. So let's see. Oh, I got a kick out of this photo. So that's two of the great great-grandchildren tooling around their great... No, great-great. Because I'm great. Oh, no, you're right. No, wait. Wait, let me think about this. No, it's my great-grandfather. It's their great-great-grandfather. So the great-great-grandchildren were tooling around in this church, and I thought that was kind of cool that of the church that was their ancestor built in 1928. And right now, here's the pastor. This is Pastor Michael Hamilton of the Constant Prayer Missionary Baptist Church. And he's still preaching and ministering and reaching out in the same building, the same area. And although the neighborhood has gone through incredible change over the last 90 years from what it was before, there is still a local church, and the church is still alive and kicking, still active in that community. And the reason for that is because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Amen? He is the same, and so his church is the same. Now, typically, when we talk about the metaphor of the church as a body, and you'll see a lot of, you know, when we've taught about this in the past, we talk a little bit more from 1 Corinthians, where Paul talks about mostly about the body. But Greg Girard and I were talking yesterday after the core meeting. Where's Greg? Maybe not here right now. But anyway, Greg and I were talking about how the Lord had led both of us, because Greg Girard's teaching next week, and how the Lord inspired both of us to focus our messages not so much on the body, or for him it's the church as an army, not so much on the army, but on the head, on Jesus Christ. And so that's what we're going to focus on today and emphasize during our next two messages, to emphasize Jesus Christ, who is the founder and living head of the church as the body, because he is the one that is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Neighborhoods change, church congregations change, leaders, Christian leaders change, but Jesus Christ does not change. So this morning we're going to be focusing not too much on the body, but mostly on the head of the body and how the head relates to the body. And so that's my prayer this morning, is that we are inspired about and have a greater appreciation for the importance of how the head of the church relates to the body of the church. So let's pray, and then we'll dive right in. Father, we thank you that Jesus, that you founded the church, that you're the same, you're unchanging. And so the church is unchanging through the centuries. Lord, help inspire us as to the importance of the head of the body of Christ. Lord, help us to understand how you relate to the body, how you relate to us, that we can understand the vital importance of being a member of the body and what and how that all works with you as the head. And I ask that you inspire us, give us a deep understanding, deep in our hearts, of you and your greatness and your awesomeness and your involvement in our lives. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. The scripture that we're going to be looking at is only out of Ephesians 1:22. I'll reference a couple other ones, but this is our main scripture for today. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything. Talking about Jesus. God placed all things under his feet and appointed Jesus to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. And the context of this section of scripture is that earlier Paul is praying for the young believers in Ephesus. He's praying that they may know Jesus better, that the eyes of their hearts might be enlightened to understand all that we have in Christ. And Paul specifically talks about that they would understand deeply the hope that we have in Christ, the spiritual riches that we have in Christ, and the incomparable great power that we have in Christ is what Paul's talking about right before these verses. And then Paul explains that it's all because of the authority that God has given Christ. God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything. Now, what is everything? Well, everything is everything. Everything worldwide, everything in the cosmos, everything. Jesus has authority, all of it. God the Father placed all of it under his feet, appointed him to be head over everything in our known world and beyond. Now, here's the truth that we often gloss over later in verse 22. And we understand that Jesus, oftentimes we understand that he is the authority, that things have been put subject under him. But why did God do it? He said he did it, placed everything, appointed him to be head over everything. Why? For the church. For the church. Not including the church, although there are other passages, obviously, throughout the New Testament, they talk about how Jesus is head of the church, you know, so he's head over everything, so he's also head of the church as well. But specifically here, what Scripture is teaching us is that God placed all these things under him, made him head over everything for the church, for the church. See, often Paul talks about the church as the body of Christ, right? He mentions how Jesus is the head and we are the body. But what Paul is teaching here is really a deeper truth, that God made him head over everything for the church. In other words, what he's saying is that it's for the benefits of the church, the benefit of the church. That's why God did it. It's for the benefit of the church. God didn't just create the church and say, you know, okay, you guys over there, go do all this stuff and that I told you to do, and good luck to you, and, you know, I hope you make it. If not, we'll see you on the other side. You know, God didn't just do that. He created the church. He made Jesus head over everything for the benefit of the church, for the church. So God gave the church a gift, and that gift was a head. But not just a head to lead the church, but the head who is head over all. And that's why Paul earlier prayed that the believers would understand this, that they would understand the incomparably great power available to us who believe. Do you understand? The incomparably great power, because our head is ruler of all. The head of the church is ruler of all. He has authority over everything. Now, a lot of you teens and probably adults in your past have been on sports teams. How many of you have ever been under a coach on a sports team? Okay, how many of you are currently under a coach in a sports team? Mostly the teens for that one. And you know the importance of a coach, don't you? How many of you guys understand the importance of a coach? That if there was no coach, the team would flounder, wouldn't it? Can you imagine a team without a coach and your teammates, you just show up and you just have to figure everything out and decide who's going to do what and who's going to, you know, play this position and do this and who's going to rotate in. And it would be a mess, wouldn't it? And not only that, but you would have to carry that burden. Can you imagine as a team member carrying the burden of having to figure out how, with your co-team members, how to figure out how to organize and run and lead that team? It would be very burdensome, be very difficult. Instead, what do you do with a coach? A coach is like a gift to the team because a coach takes that burden on. And now the team members can just focus on their part on the team. They don't have to worry about coaching and leading the team. And you just play that position that the coach tells you to play, and you work hard to contribute to your team. And it's the same way with the church. We don't have to carry the burden of the church on our shoulders. We're not the head of the church. Jesus is. Just as a coach is a gift to a sports team, Jesus is a gift to the church for that purpose. The church would be a disaster, can you imagine, if we didn't have a head, if the church did not have a head. And that's because whether it's a sports team or a church, when someone comes in with authority, what happens? You feel at ease because you feel safe. When someone has authority, you feel at ease because you feel safe. You feel looked after. You feel taken care of. You feel like, it's so nice to have someone in charge that you can trust. We talked yesterday at our core meeting about how the church provides such a safety net, such a safety, a place of safety and security in this crazy world. And why is that? It's because Jesus is the head of the church. That's the reason. Jesus is the head. Now let's take this a step further in my sports analogy. If you're on a sports team and the coach comes into your team and tells you, guys, I just want to let you know that not only am I the head of your team, but I am also the head of all the teams. And no one is going to stand against you. No one is going to oppose you or be able to beat you. I mean, that would be some kind of team to be on, wouldn't it? Not only your coach, you're winning. You're victorious. You're on the winning team. And not your coach has authority over all and has said that no one's going to stand against you. And that's what Jesus said when he founded the church. He said, I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. The church is winning, is a winner. The church will win. The church is victorious because, why? Because Jesus is the head. He has authority over all. Not even the gates of Hades will be able to overcome the church. We don't need to worry too much about what's going on in the church and worry about what's going to happen in the church with the secularization of society or materialism or the rise of atheism or the growth of Islam or whatever is your concern. We have a head who is authority over all, Jesus Christ. And he is the same yesterday and forever. The church has thrived in this world for 2,000 years. No matter what the world has thrown at it, no matter what Satan has thrown at it, the church has thrived, and it will succeed to the very end with Jesus as the head. The church has all power because of the head, all power through our head. And he's a gift to the church by God. Let's read a little bit further. God placed all things under his feet, appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body. Which is his body. The church is called the body of Christ. We are his body. And that's the second way that Christ relates to the church. It's not just that he's an all-powerful head, but that Jesus relates to us as a head relates to the body. So our relationship to Jesus isn't just the coach and we're the team. He's not just the teacher in authority and we're the student. He's not just the manager and you're the employee. Instead, he is the head and we are the body. And so what does that mean? That implies, that shows a vital relationship that we have with Jesus Christ that no coach and team has ever had, that no manager and employee has ever had, that no parent and child has ever had. A vital connection, relationship, as the head is to the body. It's like a physical body. How does a physical body work? It derives its power and its direction and everything. It's vitally connected to the head. Without the head, the body can't function. There's nothing that would ever, that would happen. It would cease to function. It would cease to live. And the church only exists because of its vital relationship with its head, the risen Lord, Jesus Christ. So spiritually speaking, Jesus explained this truth in a different metaphor you may have heard before in John 15:5, when he talks about how he is the vine, we are the branches. He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you'll bear much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. So just look at that analogy. Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. We just cut down all this growth around our fences over the last few weeks. And what happens when you cut those branches off? They wither and they die. And all the greenery goes away. And that's what Jesus is saying, is that he is like the vine. We are like the branches. It's his nourishment. It's his power that keeps us, that sustains us, that keeps us alive, that causes us to bear fruit. And later in Ephesians, Paul uses the same exact concept in describing the body. He says in Ephesians 5:29 through 30, no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it. In other words, you don't hate your own body. You nourish it and cherish it. You feed your body. You water your body. You drink when you're thirsty. You take care of your body. You make sure your body is healthy. No one hates his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church. Why? Because we are members of his body. You don't ignore the needs of your body. Jesus doesn't ignore the needs of his church. We are intimately connected to him. And he nourishes and cherishes us. Now, there's a different angle that Paul, that I alluded to, that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians, how each member of the body is different. And in 1 Corinthians, he talks about the body as, hey, we're all different members of the body. One person's the hand, one person's the foot, one person's the ear, one person's the eye. And how we all have this unique role that the hand doesn't do what the foot does, the eye doesn't do what the ear does, right? But God orchestrated as the head of the body, everybody in their different roles and all that stuff. And that's good analogy. But in the 90s, there was this big movement in Christendom to discover your spiritual gifts. And so they came out, there's all these spiritual gift assessments, spiritual gift surveys. Did anyone ever take a spiritual gift assessment or survey? You know, I did. And, or shape. One of the leaders talked about discovering your shape. That's like your heart and your abilities and your spiritual gifts and all that stuff. And the idea there was that you would find your ideal role to fit into the body and serve in the body as a member of the body, just like a hand serves one way and a foot serves the other way and all that. Now, I did all that stuff. It was good. But the danger in that is that the focus of all that is on who? The focus of all that is on you. It's on me. It's a me focus. What is my spiritual gifts? How has God shaped me? What is my role in the body? Me, me, me is what the focus of all that is on. And so I decided not to go down that road today, but instead, because being a part of the body is not about me, me, me. Being a part of the body is primarily about him, him, him. It's all about him. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus who gives us spiritual power. It's all about the head who cherishes and nourishes the body that gives us spiritual life. Don't be as concerned about your gifting. Don't be as concerned about your shape, how God made you. I mean, it's all interesting. I mean, I thought it was interesting coming out of all those spiritual gift assessments and stuff. But instead, focus on the head and how the head is leading you, how the head is guiding you on what the head wants you to do in your life, in ministry, in loving other people, in serving Him. And you'll discover your shape just by doing that. Do you see the importance of being a member of the body? It's not about finding your personal fulfillment. It's about spiritual survival. Jesus is your head. That's your spiritual survival. You couldn't even survive without Him. You are a member of the body of who? The body of Christ. The last way that Christ relates to us as a body is the last part of this verse. God appointed Him head over everything for the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills everything in every way. The fullness of Him, of Christ, who fills everything in every way. Christ fills the church with His fullness. The church is both filled with Christ and through Christ. Now, the way that the church is filled through Christ is some of the things, other things we read in Scripture about how God gives everybody spiritual gifts. We're blessed with all these blessings, His grace, His power, and more things in every way. And that's how the church is filled through Him. But primarily, the church is filled by Him, with Him, Christ in us. It's not about necessarily the gifts that He brings, but it's about His very presence, Christ in us. The fullness of Christ is in the church. Yesterday, we were at our core meeting, and a great time, a very encouraging time of discussion over different topics. And one topic was pretty difficult, was very hard. And I know for me, I was inspired by listening to the hearts of how God's worked different believers in our church about this issue. And hearing their hearts really inspired me. That was the fullness of Christ coming out in the church. And the heart of Christ came out in our congregation, in the body of Christ, as we talked about this topic. Now, this is Mother's Day, and so I want to make sure to have a Mother's Day tie-in. And here's my Mother's Day tie-in to this theological topic. If you think about a home, think about your home, think about a home. It is filled with all things mom, isn't it? A home is filled with all things mom. Her decorating taste can be seen in the home. Her voice is often heard in the home. Sometimes happy, sometimes not, but it's heard. Okay? It's always heard, right? If she cooks, the taste of her cooking fills the home at mealtime. If she wears perfume, her smell even fills the home when she's wearing perfume. Her touch fills the home when she comforts her children when they're hurting and when she loves her family. And on a deeper level, her children are raised, partially at least, with her values, her beliefs, her likes and dislikes are absorbed by her children. I know this because for some reason, my kids are way more excited about Michigan State than they are about Purdue. And see, a mother fills a child's mind with her preferences. And some would call it brainwashing, but I digress. The point is that a mother's presence is manifest in every possible way within the home. A mother's presence is manifest in every possible way within the home, both within the family, to the family, but also to outsiders that come into the home and experience the family and interact with the family. And that's what it means to have the presence of Christ, the fullness of Christ in the church, the fullness of Christ, the presence of Christ permeates the church. It permeates the body of Christ. All things Christ are manifest in the body. All things Christ are manifest. And an outpouring of this is that we end up manifesting Christ to outsiders, to the world that come in contact with the church, that come into the church, that rub shoulders with us, who are in the church, who are members of the church. Paul said, he was talking about he and the apostles, and likewise when we're ministering, it's similar. He uses us to spread the knowledge of Christ everywhere like a sweet perfume. Our lives are a Christ-like fragrance rising up to God, but this fragrance is perceived differently by those who are being saved and by those who are being perishing. To those who are perishing, we are a dreadful smell of death and doom, but to those who are being saved, we are a life-giving perfume. We don't do His work for us, or we don't do His work for Him. He does His work through us. Christ manifests in the body, and He does His work through the body. And it's a sweet aroma to those who respond. It's sweet. It's life-giving. Even when Christ gave the commission to the church, which we have up on our bulletin board, He said, "Lo, I am with you, even to the end of the age." That's not just a footnote. That is the note. He is with us. We couldn't accomplish the mission of the church without the fact that He is with us. He is in us. He works through us. He is manifest to the world through the church. It's so easy to forget this, to focus on ourselves, to fall into the subtle trap of thinking that it's all about us. It's all about the church and what we can do. And it's not. It's about Christ filling the church. People can see Christ in the church. People can hear Christ in the church. People can touch Christ in the church when we reach out to them. People can smell Christ in the church, according to Paul here in 2 Corinthians, symbolically speaking. Friday, I was about to leave work, and one of my coworkers said, "Mike, what's going on this weekend? You got anything going on?" And I thought, well, let's see, we don't have gymnastics. We're not going to have time to go to the Marvel movie. And I said, "Oh, well, I got a lot of church stuff going on." And we went on and talked about other things, and that was about it for that. But later I was thinking about what a powerful truth that is. Not everybody in the world can say that, oh, they have a lot of church stuff going on, but we're members of the church. What a privilege that is to be a member of the church, to have church stuff going on, because our head is Jesus Christ. We're part of His body. Jesus, my summary today, if you haven't caught it, is this, that being part of the body of Christ is all about Christ. I hope you see how vital that is. Christ has authority over all things in the universe. God gave Christ His head over the church as a gift. Nothing can overcome us. We are His body, so we're nourished and we're cherished by our head, Jesus Christ, and He fills us with Himself, and He works through us. He manifests Himself through us to accomplish His work in this world. This is who you are, the church, the body of Christ. Let's pray. Father, help us to understand these truths in a deep way in our hearts, that we would understand what a phenomenal privilege it is to be a part of Your body. Not because the body is so great, but because You are so great, Jesus, as the head. Thank You for these incredible truths, that You care for us, that You nourish and You cherish us, that nothing can overcome the church because You have authority over all things, Lord. And I thank You that You fill us, You give us all spiritual blessings, all spiritual gifts, but even more important than that, You fill us with Yourself, and Your presence in the church is manifest in so many ways. Lord, teach us to humbly submit to all that You're doing in our lives, in our church's lives, in the church universal. And I lift everybody up here. In Jesus' name, amen.